Hello, boys.
Did that pick up?
That will pick up.
Are we live, Clive?
Here we are. We're live. Just because you're a dickhead. How's Belgium? Nobody cares.
You dick. I did some secret scouting in Belgium, Clive. I went to see the talent. See the Ghent, the mighty Ghent.
Is this who you've got in a conference league or something?
It is certainly we've got in a conference league. The massive, massive side of Ghent. I think they're top of the league as well.
I mean, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Don't disrespect the Belgium league, right?
Name another Belgium team other than the one Ghent played at the weekend.
I can't even remember the name of the team they played. I was a little bit out of it, I'll be honest. All I do remember, though... Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be so patronising about Ghent, like in the way that you're talking,
I'm not,
just
mate,
in case
they
are top-tier. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, right, out of what I saw, they do have a little English lad that plays up front, Max, I can't remember his surname, and he looks all right, he looks decent. In fact, do you know what? I'm going to put a bet on him to score against Chelsea. That reminded me to do it.
Why does that not surprise anyone?
So, those of you out there, if you want to put a bet on, put Max something.
Well, yeah, he's number 21. Max, and he's English. I think he's the only English player in the whole of the Belgium league, but definitely in the Ghent squad.
Remember, gamble responsibly.
Yeah. Please.
Right, let's crack on and get into the games at the weekend.
Football.
With United v Tottenham. Go ahead, Luke.
Mate, what can I say?
The Dutch lad.
What can I say? Mickey van Leeuwen. Mate, all right, we'll start off with him. Mickey van Leeuwen. Oh, my God. Yeah, he is... Mate, I think someone said it. I think it might be you, Bob, or someone said cheat code to me in a message. It's... Yeah.
I don't think that was me. No, I think I said he was Dutch.
But he is just phenomenal. I mean, but even defensively, you know, just covering, you just see how good he is. Oh, just fantastic.
Well, there's one moment in the second half. Was it Garnacho that was running onto a ball and he just steamrolled? Turned on the afterburners and away he went.
It's just ridiculous how he can just turn it on like that and then off he goes. But overall, what a performance from Tottenham. It's probably the best I've seen Tottenham play. I mean, we've been playing this sort of football all season where we've dominated the game but not had the finishing. What I saw against United...
I think Tottenham fans should thank me, because ever since I had said Brendan Johnson's got no end product, he scored four and assisted two or three, hasn't he?
I think probably coming off Instagram and not listening to the critics and people just... screaming at him has probably helped him, to be fair, Clive, and your family, coaches. But if you want to believe
Here are my words.
That's fine.
It's called the Nicholas Jackson effect.
I ain't saying anything bad about another Tottenham player all season.
That's it. But I for the 20, 25 minutes, I know a lot of people saying, oh, United, you know, they're poor and whatnot. But we just have football in the first 3 minutes, or just the first 25 minutes. Was just phenomenal. Before obviously the sending off, which I thought wasn't a sending off, by the way, but we can come to that. Like, I was just so happy with the performance, and I was a bit like, we're going to get a draw against United away from home, because United, you know, everyone's like, it's United. You go to Old Trafford, you don't expect to thump them. You don't expect to play that sort of football against United just because of the quality that they've got and at home.
But is it like a case of? When we played that shit team, West Ham.
Oh, fuck off.
And they made us look world class. Is it like that?
Oh, dear.
Because you're not actually good. You just made a really shit team.
No. It wasn't comparable to that. Because West Ham were genuinely dreadful against Jews.
I mean, United have been generally dreadful all season so far, I know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that it was on the same scale of... the easiness that West Ham had against Chelsea, in my opinion.
You were playing a quality team.
No, we weren't. Carry on, Luke, sorry.
No, that's fine. Look, United have been poor. We know that. But the way Tottenham turned up, the way we were playing, we just they couldn't do nothing. They got a few chances here and there, but we just looked comfortable in that game. I can't fault Ange's tactics in this one for once. all round, just trying to think. Is there anyone that I could point out and say didn't play well? I don't think it was Werner, I guess, the 2 1-on-1s, but we knew what we was getting with him when we,
bless him,
yeah, you know, got him on loan again. But if you can just put it back in the net.
Was it you that put on Twitter, Clive, if Werner could score?
It was, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if
he'd be knocking on the door.
Yeah, he's a Brendan Johnson again, 4-4. Can't fault him. You know, getting in those positions.
When I saw the lineups, I was a bit like, obviously Son's got an injury, but I did worry for you with that. Solanke, another goal as well.
It's another. You build his
confidence. Should have had another one though. I think he. Did he miss quite an easy tap in or something like that? Did keep him making a good save?
No, I don't know. I think that's from. I know. I think that's with Werner, wasn't it? It was one of his chances, and then it sort of come in, and then Onana just stopped it. But then the player would have probably stopped it as well if it just went past him.
Yeah.
But it's a half chance, you know. That he could have probably done something. But I think we watched. You know, you watched the game, Clive. It was. Just a great performance. The red card, definitely red card.
I mean, up until the red card, you was controlling the game. Even if you took the one goal advantage away from yourselves, like it didn't look like you was going to crumble at any point, like, at all. You looked like you was like dictating the pace and playing it at your speed, really.
Yeah, I mean, half time sometimes changes the games. You know, the players go in, the manager gives them a rollicking, and then sometimes they come out different, and Tottenham just fall back into the Tottenham way. But I couldn't see, with the beginning of that game and the way it was going, I couldn't see that happening. I think just the way that we've played like this all season so far, other than the Coventry game where he changed things up, where he got some new young lads in and it changed the dynamic a bit, and we was lucky against Coventry. But in the Premier League, when we've started our main 11, it's been a solid performance, just not the finishing, but the last few games we've done that, and hopefully, you know, we can do that in next week's game in Brighton.
And yeah, the red card. I don't think anyone actually thinks it was a red card, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, not a red card.
Well, no, I haven't seen it.
I think if Fernandes is out of control and has his studs go into Madison's shin, then fair enough, because it is high.
Yeah.
But I think he turns his foot enough in regards to
not to come like a scrape downwards sort of thing.
It's not even like it's more of a kind of a flick to trip him up, right?
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm just thinking in my head. Yeah.
Yeah. So
his studs weren't showing, were they? No. At the point, it weren't pointing towards him.
No, I think if you watch it as well, I think it's Bruno Fernandes, like the back of his foot that actually makes contact. So he kind of got his foot in front of Madison's leg rather than anything else. But yeah, the studs are completely down. It's a harsh, and I know the referees will stand behind there, reckless and whatnot. But like, I think the fact that he slips means he's out of control. But that's not any fault of his own. He's not like, and then. But I think he's in enough control to make sure his studs aren't going in. So it's a deliberate foul and a yellow card. That's what should have happened.
Yeah, yeah. I think as he's slipped, he's still put his foot out. I think that's the thing as well.
He's definitely tried to foul
exactly that. Yeah,
and he didn't need to. Where, like I know that you're going to go on to an attack at that point, but there's still a lot of ground. Like, it's on the halfway line, basically, isn't it? So
yeah, and it's Madison. It's not Van der Ven. do you know what I mean? I agree with you. It was definitely not a sending off, and it would have been harsh if it was, you know, we were the other end of us getting a foul, unless it's Romero.
So the question is, why do VAR look at that and say it's not like, come on, ref, you've got that one wrong. Like, that's what I don't understand.
I think, you know, when I was saying, I can't remember in the second or third weekend, when I was saying I know you're gonna laugh at me letting the ref comment. I think it's to do with that, Clive. I can only assume it's to do with that. Is the referee's made a decision, an instant decision. If VAR then overturn it, it's then undermining the referee. Now, I agree that it's not a, well, they call it dangerous. I think they called it dangerous or reckless, or whatever the decision was. Mm-hmm. But all of us behind the screen and even the pundits outside of the game agreeing that, look, that was not malicious. That it was a slip. It happened. It's just, they see it as it's reckless. It's a it's some stupid letter of the law again business, like kicking the ball away 2 yards.
It's once again them not using common sense, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, common sense. Yeah.
None of us have played it at any high level of the game. Neither have the refs, but we can all see it.
I agree with the refs reffing the game thing, and that does work to an extent for those kind of. You know, I'm trying to think of a good example, but ones where, you know, it's like a bit of a 50-50, I suppose. Not like the one last week,
West Ham penalty.
Mitchell, by the way. Yeah, not like that. But
50-50.
If it's clear, then VAR is still meant to intervene, isn't it?
If it's a clear and obvious mistake, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which that was, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. So, why are they not doing something? I don't get it.
Devil's advocate, is it keeping the game flowing more? Because there is less VAR getting involved.
Absolutely not, because Arsenal players are kicking the ball away every fucking time they give a free kick away.
Oh no, they just turn VAR on when there's an Arsenal game, Clive.
See, I'm starting to get a feeling as well, and this is not Arsenal related. To me, there's some decisions that I'm seeing like throughout the weeks and throughout the games. I think the referee hasn't made that decision. Like, you see them talking away in their earpiece. Like, I think maybe even the Forest game with the Gibbs White sending off the other day. That, to me, looked like the referee had made a decision, wasn't going to book him, and then someone says to him, I think that's a yellow card.
Yeah.
And, like, as much as we know, like, VAR is definitely not supposed to get involved in yellow cards. Even with the Declan Rice one, like, they've released the audio and they're saying, well, you've got to give him a yellow card. Like,
is that
he's
the VAR
the ball
or
away.
Is that his assistant?
I don't, it could be his assistant for the Declan Rice one, but I'm starting to get a feeling that even if it's the assistant, like, you're not refereeing the game. Like, let the referee, as Luke says, ref. I'm getting more and more of a feeling that's what's happening. And if it is, again, that's not right. It's bringing another level of, well, you're too many chefs in the kitchen or what.
Well,
as
long as
it's
consistent,
huh? we know that doesn't happen.
But regardless of the ref in the game, so if the ref is ref in the game, and even if it's him that makes that decision, VAR still needs to intervene in that case, because it's clear and obvious to everyone else on the planet that it's not a red card.
Agreed.
I've not seen anyone that said that's a definite red or, oh, that could be a red. I haven't seen anyone say that.
No. There's worse tackles this weekend that happened that should have been a red, like Jota in the Liverpool game. He caught someone on his Achilles stud showing.
Yeah.
I don't even think he got booked for it. Obviously, Oliver Skip, which we'll come to shortly, obviously, I've got a whole piece on that. He does Martinelli on the Achilles with
great,
his studs.
Great challenge. Great challenge.
But that aside, how is VAR not turning around saying, nah, it's not a red, mate? You've got that wrong. Go and look at the screen. Go and watch it again. And, yeah, slow the game down for 2 minutes, but go and watch it again and make sure you're happy with a red card, because nobody else is. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Not that I think it would have made much of a difference to the result, because United were fucking awful. So,
yeah, agree. We'll give a shout out though to Bentancur. I think he was sublime.
Sublime.
If you go back and watch that game, oh my God. Seeing the last few games,
I'm not in the business of
I know, but if you go watch his defensive ability and just his positioning and just mopping up any anyone that tries to get through it. It's just quality. He's got that ability, and he's getting back to that ability again.
Got a bit of Declan Rice about him, didn't he?
Declan Rice, okay.
He's not getting on the door, Logan.
Well, Benton Corner. I think he's got, when you start hitting numbers like Rodri and people like, I'd hate to say Arsenal, but players like Vieira, then we start saying he's not going on the door. But he's like, not even Declan Rice is knocking on the door.
What numbers are you talking about with those numbers? What?
Aerial duels.
it's interceptions. You know, the ability to obviously winning the games like Rodri. I think his stats, like, I think they lost like 4 games or something or whatever stat I think they come up with the other day.
Their win loss ratio is ridiculous.
Yeah, when he starts, you start looking at those players that, you know, you every week you're talking about how good he is. Like De Bruyne when he comes into the Premier League from Chelsea. He was already in Premier League, but when he went to Chelsea, was it Chelsea to Man City?
He went to Italy before.
Oh, Italy.
He came to City. Yeah.
But when he came in here, everyone was like, okay, you know, De Bruyne, what's he going to do? And then I think Paul Merson was the one that was saying that he's not good enough. And then all of a sudden, everyone started talking about De Bruyne and how good he is. So I think when people start talking about Bentancur in that way, then maybe, like they do with Saka, I know I joke about it, Clive, about his miles off. You know, it's still a little bit, but people are talking about him.
I've never said he's world class yet.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when people start talking about him even more, you start. That's what I'm saying about him knocking on the door, in that sense.
Yeah, no, I like Bentancur, and I think he was a big miss for you last season. He's a good defensive midfielder. Yeah. I don't know if I'd put him in my top 5 in the Premier League just yet, but he's certainly going the right way about it at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm really, really looking for a Declan Rice win-loss ratio just for Arsenal, but it's proving to be rather difficult because it puts West Ham in there as well.
Tanks it completely.
Right.
Do you want to talk about the Dutch guys? Assist, Luke. Floor is yours. Go on.
I don't need to talk about it. Everyone in the world who ever listens to this podcast, you know that defender just ran 75 yards at like incredible pace, and the assist was.
Yeah, but I've heard the run would have been the same if there were no players on the pitch.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah. Like, if you're going to pick Bones out of it, there's two issues. Like, nobody tries to challenge him. And Dalot just defended, like, he's tracking for Brendan Johnson. Just doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
The tracking was a joke. Yeah. Early on in the game, they just weren't alive, were they? Well, to be fair, most of the game, they weren't alive for it. But that run and assist,
I just think it's United making him look good.
No. See, you don't take it away from Tottenham. These fans always do this. Yeah, it's like, oh, I suppose it was there. Mate, you've got a centre back running from 75 yards from his own box to the other opponent's box across the
line.
Like quite
his box.
Yeah, well, okay, close enough. Yeah.
15 yards off.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, Clive. Yeah. Don't take it away from him. Go. Makes a run. Great cross in and then good finish. It was a goal. It was a great goal. It was one of the goals of the season. I noticed it as soon as I said it because obviously it was just a tap in. But if we had a great assist of the season, it'd be on there.
I think if he has to, like, if Van der Ven has to beat a player with a bit of a drop of a shoulder or whatnot, then maybe.
He'd beat like 6 players, Clive.
He just ran past them without them trying.
Because he's so quick.
Like, nobody tries to tackle him.
Do you remember the Henry goal against Tottenham when no one tackled him and he scored from like 60 yards out? Where he ran
people tried to take him down.
No one
people tried to kick him.
No one was near him. But then Arsenal fans were making like, yeah, it was at a yard. You know, no one tried to tackle him compared to like,
go and rewatch
it. Oh, I'll watch
they,
it. Don't you
they tried
that.
To tackle him worse than they would nowadays.
No.
They tried
no
to one, boot him up in the
no
air.
See, any time it comes to Arsenal, like if someone you want to
you
player,
brought
you,
Arsenal into
like,
it.
If no, because you're an Arsenal fan, and then you, I know you're always more, you know, talkative when it comes to football. But so if Saliba did that, mate, I'd get there'd be banners everywhere. Saliba. There'd be banners. Arsenal fans, I see it all on Facebook. I see it online. Saliba's best centre back in the world. Oh, fuck me. He's the best. That's what I would see from Arsenal fans. But Van de Ven does it. No, no one's near him. No one's near him. Nah, nah. Fuck off.
So what you're saying is we're not allowed opinions on it.
No, you're not allowed it. Not when everyone watched that and called it world class. Yeah.
That's, everyone.
I think he's a great assist. He's done very well. There he goes. But there nobody goes. Tackles
you wait,
him.
You wait.
Nobody
wait,
tries to tackle
wait,
him.
Because he saw the gap and he ran. Wait, if, I mean, you know, if everyone
anyone
saw
could
a gap,
see
like,
the gap,
no,
it was massive.
That's what I'm saying. If anyone, most players, they would even try that, but they'd be chased down. It was just so quick. They had no, they couldn't do nothing.
Someone just needs to step in front of him. Well, that's literally they all they need to
they
do.
They couldn't do it. They couldn't do
Moses
it,
could lead his people through that gap. It's fucking massive. Jesus.
I will say, in defence of Van de Ven, or not even in defence of him, because I think everyone can agree that it was a good goal, to be fair. But the delivery of his pass when he was moving at that pace as well was rather impressive, I would say.
For a centre half, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just to stick up for Luke for a little bit there.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Appreciate
welcome,
it.
Welcome, Luke.
Anybody else want to say anything about Tottenham?
I do, right.
Go on.
The best thing about Spurs winning 3-0 is Luke is 1 week closer to wearing an Arsenal top. So keep going, Luke. Thank you.
Last word, Luke.
We're finished above Arsenal.
You're finishing above Arsenal. He's called it, boys. He's called it.
Mate, what's the percentage
recorded
on that, Luke?
Yeah, he does, like only deals in 100%.
Yeah,
only
that's...
deals in hundreds.
No, I think we're close to top four. If we,
so
we,
now
we,
you're close to top four.
You're close.
So
to top four.
You're not. You were top four.
It's
now
guaranteed
top four
last week.
Yeah. I mean, no, people were saying stuff about Tottenham with Ange tactics and stuff, and oh, they haven't done this, and they're, you know, they're doing whatever. And I think we can see that things are happening. So we just watch his space, should I say?
I mean, you've already claimed that you're finishing in the top four.
Oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I am. But I'm talking like for everyone now. I'm not just talking for myself. I want Tottenham to always win. You know, I want Tottenham to win the Premier League. But I was trying to be realistic.
Don't sound like it.
I mean, we'll come back to top four discussion at some point for sure, because Chelsea are looking more and more consistent each week at the moment. Yeah, consistently, they consistently.
What are you laughing at, Bob?
Concede, but they consistently score as well. But
yeah, but we all know what Chelsea are like. Come on,
we'll come to that in a minute after we talk about how great West Ham are, and they are the first team to stop Brighton from losing when Brentford.
Brighton. Here we go again. Was it Wolves? Was it Brighton?
Was it Brentford?
West Ham are the first team to stop Brentford from losing when they score in the first minute. So, Bob, over to you.
Well done, West Ham.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to start off with a bit of a moan, which is actually off the back of what you were just talking about there, Clive. So, we know from this season that Brentford quite quick off the mark. They're pretty lively in the first minutes of the game. And I'm not just talking about Mbeumo scoring within a minute, which he's done 2 weeks in a row, but they've just...
And another banger as well.
The three,
yeah,
one,
eh? Yeah.
He didn't score the first one, but he's done two in a row.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, they've scored three.
Yeah. So we know they're quite quick off the mark. We also know that West Ham have conceded four times within 10 minutes in our first six games, right? And three of them times were within 5 minutes. So why the fuck are we not waking the fuck up in the first minute and letting Mbeumo just get... It's right. And it was a good finish, yeah? It was a good finish, but I hate to say it, but Wan-Bissaka just completely misses, I think it's Carvalho, coming behind him, just completely misses him. Just, it was so easy again. Oh, sorry. I was moaning so much that I had to cough. Yeah, it was a must not lose game, in my opinion, that game. After that Chelsea performance,
it can't be
absolutely
must not lose already. Isn't that bad?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you need to start building your confidence a little bit back up. You can't lose that game. I don't mean it in like we're going to get relegated. I just mean it from like a West Ham kind of confidence kind of way. And I think after we conceded that goal, defensively, we actually looked a lot better than against Chelsea. I think there were a couple of weak spots. Manager made a couple of good substitutions at half time, took off Emerson, who was getting absolutely pounced, or trounced, should I say, in the first half. And he was really struggling. I don't know what's going on with him at the moment because he was one of our best players last year, in my opinion. But,
and you was quite happy with his pre-season as well. He looked quite decent in pre-season, I remember you saying.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's still suffering with a bit of a knock or what, but his performance has definitely been off. But yeah, we took him off and moved Wan-Bissaka over to the left as well. Paqueta actually had quite a good game from what I saw of the game. But in the first half, he was kind of playing in the central role and he was just kind of getting suffocated for the majority of the first half. But then we moved him over to the left and the creativity started happening and that obviously led to our goal.
Who scored the goal again?
Suchek.
Ah, I see, yeah, of course.
So, and I actually think, I know it's a 1-1 draw against Brentford. One, Brentford, we just never seem to do that well against them, just from previous experience. We all know about the time that the people from our group chat went to watch West Ham against Brentford and we lost. we never performed that well against them. It was off the back of a very disappointing performance the previous game. So I actually think it was quite positive. I think Suchek played brilliant. Bowen was lively.
Do you think Suchek should be starting again?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, he gets a lot of hate on social media, I realise, to be honest. But I don't really get it. I think he puts a lot of work in.
I think it's kind of like, from an outsider's point of view, looking at West Ham, is like the first season you had him, he was kind of, he had the free reign, right? He was able to kind of, with Rice behind him, he was able to play whatever he wanted and he looked like, I think he was up there for one of the signings of the season. Then the next year, you kind of swapped those roles around so Rice was more free and Suchek was more defensive. And I don't really think he's looked as good since that kind of swap, and I don't think you've given him the free rein again.
Well, I think actually in this game against Brentford is probably the first time that I've seen him play like that. I feel like maybe Lopetegui has maybe seen how he wants him to play or where he plays best, and has maybe played him in that role in that game, and maybe that's something that he'll do going forward. So, I mean, that's always a positive to me anyway. But yeah, there isn't really much more to say about it, to be honest with you. It's a point after a really disappointing...
I've got no notes on it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it wasn't a very entertaining game.
Classic.
We was under the cosh a lot. I will say, I slagged off Wan-Bissaka earlier, Sharp Mitchell. But there were two or three occasions where he done very well at intervening. I think Mbueno had a header at some point that Wan-Bissaka done really well putting him off. So he did save us from a couple of goals as well. And like I say, we definitely did look defensively more sound. There wasn't that massive gap in midfield that we saw against Chelsea. So something's definitely happened between then and now. So hopefully we'll kind of push forward and start getting some wins. Definitely not getting relegated.
Have you not had a win yet?
Jim Mitchell. Well, yeah, we have had a win.
Oh, you have had a win. Have you?
Yeah, they beat Palace. Yeah.
Palace.
Oh, fucking hell.
Did you manage to do that?
Is there a hard team, mate?
I mean, Bob, you got beaten 3-0 by Chelsea. That's...
But I mean, to be honest, right, it was Nicholas Jackson's coming out party. We weren't going to be there to ruin it.
Well, he's back to his normal self. So
let's move on to Chelsea Brighton. I don't, anyone else got anything to say about West Ham, Luke?
God no.
Luke. Right. Yeah, so yeah, I just fucking stick up
here.
That's it now.
Sorry, Bob.
What you should have said, Luke, was Moyes in. That's what you should have said.
I don't, because I have fans moaning.
Yeah, they listen, do that. Right. If there's anyone saying Lopetegui, I can't say it. Lopetegui out, then they need a serious checkup. We all knew that you needed one anyway. But there's no way that we should even be considering that at this point, in my opinion.
No, I don't disagree. I just joke.
But there are people. There are people.
Around Christmas time, if you're still in the same position, I'll be saying it then. I ain't. So.
Well, no, because normally our performance dips at Christmas, and I can't see that happening because it's.
Well, that's because
pretty
can't
dippy.
Get much worse.
That's because Big Sam or David Messiah will come in.
Yeah. Fuck off, Clive.
Chelsea Brighton, Mitchell, take the floor.
Let me tell you something, Clive. It is impossible to predict Chelsea this season. I was
what
pretty
did you say? You said 2-1 or something like that.
I said 2-0. And I'll tell you why I said 2-0, because
you thought you was going to win 2-0.
Because I thought I was going to win 2-0, yeah. But Sanchez had been playing well, and Caicedo and Enzo had been playing well next to each other, and the defence seemed to, I don't know, there seemed to be something gelling. That went out the window. And I got very nervous in the first 5-10 minutes, because, I mean, Brighton could have gone 2-0 up. I don't know what Sanchez is doing. I mean, I think it was a hospital ball from Caicedo to, I think it was Cole Will or Fofana, one of the two. And he tries to boot it out. It comes off of a Wolves attacker. A Wolves? Where am I going with this
where
now?
Where are we going? Brighton and Wolves.
Brighton. Go back to bed, mate. Yeah,
I need to. Brighton attacker. And Sanchez comes out like fucking Superman. I don't know what he's doing. Completely misses the ball. And then the ball just trickles into the net. So, yeah, I was nervous. but then it all turned around. And I did write that I was going to have a little dig at Jackson. So, oh my God. I mean, even in the first half, even before we started banging in goals, he had chances. And you know how I praised him last week against that team fighting relegation? That he was taking his time and he was placing his shots and he was thinking about what he was going to do. Maybe that's just because West Ham gave him loads of time. But in this game, he went back to classic Jackson. He's rushing. He was gangly legged and he weren't getting them off right. Now, he did get an assist. It was a gangly assist, but it was a good assist. So I'm not going to jump down his throat too much. I was just hoping for some consistency, but it is a riff. He could have had a hat-trick, Jackson, honestly. Palmer could have had 6. My God. But he did.
Well,
make
go at him then.
After the hard because ones, he did miss a couple of easy ones, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But he, what was it, 20 minutes? He gets 4 goals. He's the first player in Premier League history to get 4 goals in the first half.
Oh, no one cares.
You've got to throw that one out of it. And the free kick, was it, what, 25, 30 yards?
That's a banger.
And it was beautiful because I think it kissed the side net even before it hit the back of the net.
Hey,
beautiful. Even when he was lining it up, I just thought, that's too far out. Too far out.
The thing I keep thinking with Cole Palmer is, like, when's it going to stop? Like, I'm obviously not a Chelsea fan or a Man City fan, so I've got no love for Cole Palmer. but he's just performance after performance.
Do you know what,
after performance.
I'll be honest with you. I love him, right? I just think he's so dense. He doesn't know how to not be good. It just doesn't filter into him. He's just not all there. He's a bit glazed over. But that's fine. Be a robot. Don't have a knowledgeable personality. Just go play football. I don't care what you do with anything else. You have no fear because you're not smart enough to feel fear. So just go bang the goals in. And he's perfect. That's exactly what we need. And they were all lovely finishes. I mean, a penalty's a penalty. I know there was a bit of umming and ahhing whether it was a penalty. I need to look it back. It looked like a penalty. It was a little bit of a clash between three players. And Sancho goes down. Maybe goes down a little bit easy, but you can't do that in the box.
It's a 50-50, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah. Last week you didn't. This week you do. So 50-50. And what else did we have in the first half? Because it was all in the first half. Everything was in the first half. It was a fantastic first half. Both of our goals were mistakes from defence or Sanchez. I was a little bit disappointed with Sanchez because, like I said, last couple of weeks he's had some pretty decent performances.
Again, he's a good shot stopper, but like he's a bit like Vicario. Like his decision making's not always the best, and like I think Vicario's better at playing with the ball at his feet than Sanchez.
Sanchez, yeah.
But like, yeah, I think against like the likes of Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool, you are going to come unstuck because you won't have as many chances and you won't score as many goals.
Well, I mean, yeah, I question whether. You know, if we played City next week, I mean, it was a tough opening game. And he does seem to be getting the team to gel a bit more. But you're right, it's people will score easily against us. It's going to keep happening. It's just whether we can keep outscoring other teams. And again, this is why I start picking on Jackson. Because Palmer's not going to score four every week. I'd love it if he does. But Jackson could get a goal or two every week because he keeps getting so many chances. And like I say, I don't want to be too hard. No, listen, I know. I agree. Like, I agree. I'm annoyed with myself. He got the assist, decent assist, but I can't, Bobby. I don't know if you saw it, I don't know if you've seen the highlights or what, but he had so many chances. And there was a chance in the second half just before he come off. He got it round the keeper. You've done well. Well done. Now just whack that fucking ball in the back of the goal. He takes too many steps. And then he does a soft tap into the centre of the goal. Defender runs back and clears it.
That wasn't a soft tap. That you're well overplaying that. I have seen that is a difficult angle. First of all, he looks up at the goal. There's no
not
defender there.
League.
The defender
striker
rushes back and clears it off the line. It was a great clearance. So don't give me that shit.
Was that the pass on Cole Palmer? The one that he just hoofed it over the top?
No. I can't remember that one. No, this was late on in the second half.
That hoof over the top was not a hoof either.
No. Okay. That's the only way I'm going to remember it as that, because I don't know who the person he passed the ball to. That's the only
that
way.
That was Nicholas Jackson he passed to. Yeah, he ran through. Yeah,
that was a great missed. Pass. Oh, no, yeah, he meant that pass. There was no two ways about it, but it looked like a hoof from here. But it was a great pass.
But yeah, it's... Again, the first half was fantastic. The second half, if you compare it to the first half, was pretty lacklustre. The only other thing I wanted to mention in the first half was my boy Madueke. He should have had a goal. Did you see that offside? I don't know how you can get much tighter with those offsides. I mean, you're talking about a pixel out of place. Just let them stand, surely. It's ridiculous.
And they're delaying the automated system as well, the Premier League.
Are they?
Yep. For some absurd reason.
Well, dickheads, aren't they? Yeah, and Brighton were playing a ridiculously high line. I don't know why they thought that would be a good game plan against us, because we have fast attacking width at all go through the middle. But yeah, then it all fizzled out in the second half. I mean, again, it was like West Ham 3-0 up.
It's kind of what you needed as well, though. Just settle the game down and don't let them back into it.
Exactly that. So yeah, and that's what we did second half. We just took control of the game and finished it. It ended in the first half 4-2. So like I said, this is going to be the Chelsea performances this season. It's just outscoring other teams. That's all we can hope for. And we have got the players to do that. Because the defence is wobbly at best.
What annoys me, Mitchell, right, is that you act. Sorry to go back to Jackson here, but you act like there's a striker on earth that scores every single chance that he gets. Right, I'm not Ireland. Denying. He doesn't score every single.
98% of the time, he scores every time.
Yeah, I just think you're being a bit harsh, especially on that example that you used.
I agree with you. I am being harsh, but I'll tell you why I'm being harsh, because I want the best, and I feel like he can excel to that level. He can be up there with the
Harlots. Then why are you talking about dropping him and putting in
confidence? No, I'm not.
Wait. Maybe I switched off here. Did you just say Nicholas Jackson could be up there with the Harlots?
Knocking on the door, Luke. Knocking on the door. No, but this is that's where I want. If you're a top four club, and let's be honest, Chelsea are a top four club. I want a striker that is almost in that ballpark, good enough. And Jackson last week was that player. This week he switched off again. He was, and this is what I mean. I know he got an assist, and like I say, he got lots of chances. But last week he took his time with those chances. He placed those shots. This week it was back to Rush Jackson.
So you're saying that City should have higher expectations because last week Haaland scored a few goals.
One goal.
But this week he was very quiet against Newcastle. So they should just reconsider.
Not when you get the golden boot, however many seasons running, and you've already got, 10 Two. Goals this season?
Nine goals.
How many Jackson's got?
Nine goals. He's got...
Cole Palmer's closer.
Three? Palmer's got seven, yeah.
I think Jackson's got four, yeah. But So, Clive, who is Arsenal's top scorer?
Who is Arsenal's top goal scorer? I don't know.
I like that, Bob. Get him on the fucking get him on a hot foot.
We share the goals around, don't we? So,
yeah, but my point is,
I know he's that you prick.
I think it's Kai Havertz.
There's lots of other teams out there that are overperforming with maybe players that aren't scoring all the time or striking.
So you're saying Havertz is shit?
I'm not saying that, no.
Because Havertz was great last season. How many goals did he get last season? Sorry, again, Clive, on the spot.
I think in the Premier League, it was probably around 15.
And there you go. That was on par with Jackson. He's had a slow start this season.
No, he hasn't. And he didn't play up front last season, all season long.
That's very true as well. There you go. So he got the same amount of goals as Jackson last season, and he weren't even playing up front.
Okay, but this season...
How many goals has he got this season, Clive?
Give me 2 seconds, because I think he's our leading goal scorer this season.
I think it's similar. I think it's like four.
He's got 3 goals in the Premier League, 1 in the Cup, maybe 2 in the Cups. He's got 3 at the moment.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to make a point here, Mitchell. Not all top four clubs are going to have this striker that is a golden boot all the fucking time.
No, I agree. I do agree. But this is my point. I feel like he is knocking on that door because he is getting so many chances. He just needs to take his fucking time sometimes.
So do you want him or not?
Gets in his
head. That's why
I do, because I have liked what I've seen at the start of this season. But just... All right, you've got it in him to get more goals. I just want the next level.
Mitch, you say he's got four or three?
He's got 4 goals, 3 assists in the Premier League.
I mean, you can't be arguing or moaning about that. We play 6 games. That's a good start.
No, see, that's what I mean. This is what I'm trying to get at. It could be so much more. He could be, please don't mince my words. I'm not saying he's as good as Haaland, but he could be pushing Haaland's goal tally at the moment. This season, he'd put away his chances.
What you're saying is, with the chances that he gets, he could be in those figures.
Yes, Werner could be in there as well. Then, fuck me.
Not
so just looking at the BBC do a goal conversion percentage.
Yeah.
Nicholas Jackson is at 22%.
Right.
Haaland is at 32%.
So he's 10 out. I'd have to see other ones. I'd have to see other.
Cole Palmer is at 33%.
Oh, fucking hell, look at that.
But maybe he's doing other things to allow Palmer to have that space.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that point. Is Jackson does a lot of selfless running that Haaland doesn't. Like, Jackson will run down into the channels and do a bit. Like, I mean, Haaland does do a bit more defensive, he has done this season than he has in any other season. But I think if you looked at it and really dived in, Nicholas Jackson probably does more work for the team than Haaland does.
Yeah, I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. I joke at the start of the season
about you're saying it's a joke.
I don't think it was a joke.
About hating. But like I said, I have liked what I've seen. I just think there is a bit of room for improvement. And this is my point. It's like, you laugh when you say, oh, you know, he's not as good as Haaland. But like you say, he's got his other qualities. If he finished like Haaland and he had these other qualities, mate, that's a world-class striker. And he's showing signs that it could be there.
What's the age difference between him and Haaland?
No idea.
I'm sure by the time he finishes at Chelsea, he'll be 50.
Okay. He's 23 years old, Nicholas Jackson. Haaland is 24.
They're the same age, and look at the difference. 10%.
All right, I'm done talking about Chelsea now.
Yeah, I'm sick of
it. Don't know about anyone else.
Yeah.
I've actually defended a Chelsea player as well, which makes me feel sick.
And we're second in the league, are we?
No.
No?
You are fourth in the league.
Fuck.
Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea. We're 2 points off top, though. So.
2 points off top. Look at that. Do you know what, as well? I was going to say, what are we on? What's the 13
points?
13 points. I had predicted, I think, 16 or 17 points in our opening 10. So they are overperforming, in my estimation.
We're only 8 points behind you. We'll be catching up.
I mean, they're not as inconsistent as we all thought they would be, But looking at the teams you've played, that's where the worry comes in. Like you've played Man City. That's it.
You are right, Clive. You're right. We have played fucking no one. City. It's just a shame it was a fucking opening weekend.
I say that as well, and I do rate Brighton. I think Brighton are a good team, so I'd say you've played City and Brighton.
I do think it was the right time to play Brighton, though, because I don't think they had a great performance last week, did they?
I can't remember who they played last week, but yeah. Shall we talk Arsenal? Yes, talk Arsenal. Everyone wants to talk Arsenal.
It's in the podcast there now, yeah?
Yeah, great. similar to Chelsea, not just the result. We kind of made our own issues. We was cruising at 2-0. Slow start in the second half. The first goal, they got a bit lucky with a deflection off of Kai Havertz's shoulder. Their second goal is going to be a contender for goal of the season, the way he hit the volley.
What an absolute screamer that was.
What a banger. And is he a right back? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yeah, you can't argue. When you see an equaliser like that, you kind of just have to take your hats off. But we dug deep. And late in the stoppage time after our 17th corner, we got the winning goal. Second to winning goal. I don't know what you call it when it's the third goal and you get another one afterwards.
An ultimate
goal. Another corner where, like, Leicester honestly had defended the best I've seen in regards to corners against us than anyone else. I mean, as I say, we had 17 corners in that game and to only get one goal, given the way that we've been scoring corners recently, it was a bit unlucky if you're a Leicester fan.
Oh my God.
So it wasn't a header, it was Trossard at the back.
That's what I meant. Yeah, it wasn't a header.
Wasn't a header. And it was a lucky deflection as well. Yeah. Like, it was an own goal at the end of the day. But like Saka's consistency and Rice's consistency in regards to putting the ball in dangerous areas, because not too long before we scored that corner, a bit like with the Man City one, Saka delivered the exact same ball and Trossard found himself at the back post with space again. Unbelievable by those two. There are a lot of talking points in regards to yellow cards and should there, shouldn't there be. The one that the other media platforms are pointing out is Calafiori.
Oh, yeah.
His possible second yellow card. My point with that one would be if you go back and watch the first yellow card, it's one of the softest yellow cards you'd ever see. And the other thing is, like, he tries to get his foot out of the way and there's a cover and defender. So they're not breaking away. They're not, like, Thomas Partey's getting across. He's taking the ball away. So in my opinion, it's not a second yellow card. obviously, with the bias that is, I'm an Arsenal fan, but I think there's mitigating factors there.
I agree with the first yellow card. But if he's on the yellow, that second one should be a yellow card, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
But equally, Leicester had exactly the same thing with, was it Ndidi?
Ndidi. Well, I mean, Ndidi obviously delays the start of game as well, but we'll look over that one. He wasn't the only Leicester player.
I didn't see it, but I 100% agree with Bob.
I'm kind of, you know, I think Calafuri's was the second yellow, but equally, Ndidi's definitely should have been a second yellow. That was more of a second yellow than Calafuri's, in my opinion.
And then you had Oliver Skipp as well, who
definitely
number one,
still not seen it.
Number one is lucky he didn't get a straight red. Didn't get a yellow card for the first one he did.
Brilliant.
Then he did quite a few little niggling challenges, and I think finally he got a yellow card for probably the least yellow card he won out of them all. And then he completely takes Saka out. We have an advantage that wasn't an advantage. We'd rather the free kick whilst Skip is on the yellow card and the referee doesn't do anything. So,
good referee.
Like, for Steve Cooper to come out and just highlight the one. Obviously, you're going to do it because the bias is your team. So, yeah, same for me. Oliver Skipp is very lucky he was still on the pitch.
Does this level out the second yellows that
Arsenal
had?
Absolutely not, no.
Is there a bit of less woe is me? It's always Arsenal?
No, absolutely not. Because not only that, Jamie Vardy delayed play on a yellow card as well, and Justin James delayed play on a yellow card. And none of that is even looked at. So, again...
Yes, I need a dark arts when Arsenal get it. You remember that.
Also, there was another one in the... Like, I've noted, whenever I watched the game this weekend, I noted every single time there was a delay of game.
Of course you did.
Everyone's
out to get Arsenal.
Newcastle did it, didn't get a book in. Liverpool did it, didn't get a book in. Liverpool did it twice. Trent Alexander-Arnold did it. No book.
Oh my God, you've actually noted all of these.
Oh yeah, of course.
I thought you were joking.
No. any game I watched the whole game for, I noted, like, I was going to be really pedantic and note how long the goalkeepers were taking on set pieces.
Oh, mate, fucking hell.
And go back to Raya's one. That's exactly why I was going to do it, because everyone's pointing out Raya, and apparently Arsenal were the only team to have ever done it.
You make it quite obvious.
That's why I was going to do it. Just to highlight, it's not just Arsenal.
Yeah.
I didn't bother in the end. I just did the delay of game ones.
Clive, on the first goal that you scored, because I noticed this from the highlights, the pullback on Vardy. I didn't watch the game. Did they cover that in the VAR? Did they even look at it? They didn't cut.
Well, VAR can't get involved.
Okay.
I don't believe VAR can get involved in that.
Because it's like a pull.
There's a tiny little hands on his shoulder, but again, like
dark arts.
How much of that is
you went and then scored from it? So I mean,
yeah, but like if you give a free kick there, again, it is then opening you up to any time a player puts his hands on another player,
yeah, but
to be a free kick.
No, like,
he hasn't pulled him. He put his arm on his shoulder. And
he
was
back a little
he
bit.
Was jostling.
He pulled him back a little bit, and he couldn't get forward to get to the ball. And then your player got the ball, and then you went and scored. I don't know. I said I only watched the highlights, so I can only go off of that from what I saw on that. And I watched it a couple of times. It looked like he pulled him back just enough so he couldn't get that ball. And then
I only watched it once, but my thoughts were it wasn't a penalty. But I'm going to watch it again now.
Not in the box. It's
not a penalty. Line. Sorry, not a penalty.
It's not a free. Again, it's. If you give a free kick for that, you are opening up the Premier League to give a free kick pretty much any time two players come together.
Yeah.
Because one player will, like, even when you're protecting the ball, most of the times when you see a player pulling a shirt back, like if it's the defender or the attacker, the other player's got his fist full of shirt as well. So, like, if you give a free kick there, you are having to give a free kick as soon as anyone puts their hand on any other player, because you can't really tell how much force they're putting into it, how much they are pulling them. So, like, it's a semi-contact sport, which is what people also have to remember. Like, I'll say it, like, if you give a free kick there, you every single corner kick, every single free kick, every single time players are getting tight together, you're just going to be blown up for a free kick or penalty every single time.
I feel like Vardy's playing up to that. I'm just watching it now. And the referee's so right on top of it.
Vardy's trying to use the dark arts, would you say? I get why you're saying it, because yeah, it does lead straight to a goal. But I just think that's good defending. My opinion is if you give that there, you've got to give so many more. So much more. And football won't be free flowing at all. It'll be like watching NFL. I think the referee, obviously think the referee got that one right, funnily enough. But in terms of the assist, it was some great play down the right wing. And I think Martinelli scuffs his shot a little bit, but you take them when a lot of people saying he's low on confidence because he hasn't been scoring. But Timber, like one of my notes about Timber is like a lot of people spoke last season about Arsenal not having any serious injuries or long-term injuries. And obviously I always highlight, well, Partey was out for lengths of time and other players like Jesus were out for big lengths of time. But we didn't have Timber all season last season, and we didn't know how much of an impact that would have had on us because we didn't know how good he was. And so far this season, he's been outstanding in every game he's played for us. So I think, like, if he does get a serious injury this season, we can then start saying, well, that's a big miss for Arsenal. Because not only he's actually a good defender playing wing back or left back or right back, he can go forward. And he's very good on the ball. So Timber, yeah, great cross for the goal.
Timber.
Second goal. I can't even remember. It's a Trossard from another kind of cross. Good finish, Trossard. He should have had another one pretty much straight after. And the Leicester goalkeeper, you got to take your hat off to him because he kept them in that game for the majority of the time. He made some unbelievable saves. Some that a couple of the Arsenal players should do better on. But he had an outstanding game.
I mean, four goals really doesn't do him justice for that performance, does it?
No, it's very unfair on him to concede four goals after the match. And the fourth goal, the only real note on that is Jesus should fucking square the ball rather than take the shot. We're very lucky that the ball does just hit Kai Havertz and go in, which is a great, typical Kai Havertz
great
goal.
Finish. Great finish. He's in my FPL, so
very happy for you, Bob. I'm very happy for you. But even Kai Havertz had a really, really good opportunity, a good header, and again produced a good save from the goalkeeper. So we made a lot of hard work out of that game, which we didn't really need to. But again, we win. We go, I think, third in the league at the moment on points. Liverpool top. So someone's prediction is looking good for Liverpool. And Liverpool do.
That right?
Again, I don't know how many teams Liverpool have played yet. I think they've got, well, they haven't played Arsenal, they haven't played City, they haven't played Chelsea, they haven't played Tottenham. So I think Liverpool
haven't played West Ham. Always leaving me out, isn't you?
I mean, I do. I'll stop leaving you out. So I think it's going to be quite an interesting, like, we've got Liverpool in, I think, three games, four games time. So, and that could be quite a big game at that point.
Yeah, it's Chelsea, Liverpool, and then Arsenal, Liverpool the week after.
So hopefully they get a couple of reds against you. That'd be nice. Mo Salah off.
Nice.
Anyone else got anything to say about the Arsenal game?
No, fuck Arsenal.
And also, I just want to say, Clive, I don't actually think that Arsenal are the only team that do the dark arts. It's just funny.
Oh, yeah, no, we're 100% not the only team that does the dark arts.
You're just very good at it. I understand. It's
one of the things that does make you laugh as an Arsenal fan is we were too soft for a long, long time and we didn't have enough grit or determination or still didn't have big players, didn't have strong players, and now we've got them. Now we've got them, people don't like it. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So
you're damned if you're Arsenal, mate. Fuck off.
Yeah, you are, 100%. Onwards and upwards. Man versus AI. Mitchell, noise, please.
Man versus AI.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Lovely.
It cracks me up every time. Every time.
So let's do a quick catch up on last week's predictions. Bob predicted a 1-1 draw. Yeah. And got the lovely 3 points. The only highlight of his weekend.
Have you done it twice, Bob?
He has.
God.
AI also predicted 1-1 in that. So AI got 3 points as well. Luke predicted a 1-1 draw. So got 0 points. AI predicted a 3-2 Tottenham win. So got 1 point. Mitchell predicted a 2-0 Brighton win. So got 1 point.
Tell me what AI did, Bob. Clive.
AI predicted a Brighton 2-1 win.
Unbelievable.
0 points.
Good fucking cunt.
Clive predicted a 3-0 Arsenal win, so got 1 point. AI predicted a 2-0 Arsenal win, so got 1 point. That's right. Yeah.
Well done, Mitchell. You defeated AI.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Whoop, whoop. He's gained a point.
An achievement.
Gained a point.
Gained a point from Luke.
So that's what I mean. He's doing well.
The table currently sits at AI on 25 and Man on 16. Bob on 7, Clive on 4, Luke on 2, Mitchell on 3. So Luke is still anguishing bottom of the table.
I think you'd look good in red, Luke.
I'm talking about this.
It'd look beautiful. So where to start on this week's predictions? Bob, it's your little derby, isn't it? It's West Ham Ipswich.
It is, yeah. It's my personal derby. And I feel bad, but West Ham are going to win 2-1. I know we haven't won at home yet, but we've got to start somewhere. And
you've got to say,
2-1 West Ham win.
Ipswich are flat.
Although they're not, actually. To any of the people from my work listening, they're not flat.
Flat. The flattest. That's what you said in the group text.
Don't leak that. But yeah, Kieran McKenna is a great manager, to be fair. So I wouldn't actually be surprised if they got a result from us. But
the lap's looking good as well, isn't he?
Yeah, really good.
And they drew against Villa.
They did too.
Yeah, but very good result. We're going to beat them. So that would ruin the fun for him, wouldn't it? That was a Portland road as well. So
Mitchell, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest.
I don't know, mate. It's just one of them, isn't it? It's just one of them. It's either going to be free-flowing lots of goals or a very close 1-1 draw.
Hudson-Odoi is going to score.
You know he's going to score. He's absolutely going to score. That's another one I'm putting money on.
Is Gibbs White on back Thursday. Or?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he will be, yeah.
Was it only one match, Ben? Yeah, 2 years.
So. Yeah.
I think we're still going to get goals. I'm going to go 3-1 Chelsea.
3-1. You are at home as well, aren't you? So.
Yeah. Hit and miss, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Luke, Brighton away.
2-1
Tottenham. 2-1 Tottenham win. Look how up to the point he is, and no extra chat, no extra nothing. 2-1 Tottenham win. Bosh,
thank
I'm
you,
done.
Jose.
Arsenal at home to Southampton. I'm going to go for another 3-0 win.
Are you sure?
Yep. It will happen at some point this season. Oh, actually, I'm going to go 4-0.
Oh!
Yeah,
it's going to be 3-0.
4-0. Ramsdale's going to have a stinker. Ramsdale's going to have a stinker.
Oh, shit, yeah. He'll score.
Imagine that. Halfway line. Bosh. Right, AI, what are you saying?
With blurb, please.
With little blurb. Right, it's jumping straight in on the Arsenal-Southampton game. Oh, Arsenal win 3-0. Rationale, Arsenal dominant force at home, especially against a team in the lower half of the table. Southampton struggled this season, both defensively and in attack. Arsenal's high press game, quick passing and attacking depth, including players like Saka, Jesus, should overwhelm Southampton. Arsenal's defence is solid enough to handle a limited attack.
Oh, what have you done, Clive?
I went 4-0
in AI points, mate.
I know, I went 4-0 in the end.
I know you did.
Cool.
But okay. they're gonna
get 3-0.
I don't think so. West Ham Ipswich.
It's not gonna predict a West Ham win, is it? Because it never fucking does.
Desmond.
West Ham 2, Ipswich 1.
Are they fucking kidding me? Stop copying me.
It knows you're the threat.
So
it knows you're the threat.
Stop it.
I don't know why it's saying this, but despite Ipswich's good form in lower leagues, cool, we're in the Premier League now, anyway, West Ham should have enough quality to see off the challenge. However, this could be a closer game than expected. Ipswich will be up for this, and West Ham might rotate squad players. I think AI thinks it's a cup match. It's not AI, it's the Premier League.
Oh, don't argue with it, Clive. Let it go.
Yeah. West Ham squad depth and Premier League experience should give them the edge, though Ipswich might sneak a goal, making it a competitive
championship experience. West Ham?
They do, yeah. Chelsea, okay. Nottingham Forest. Chelsea 2, Forest 0. Chelsea's inconsistencies remain a concern, but at home against Nottingham Forest, they should have enough quality to secure the victory. Forest have been decent, but they often struggle away from home, especially against bigger sides. Didn't they beat Liverpool 1-0 away from home?
Yes,
they did. Chelsea's pace on the wings and midfield dominance, led by players like Enzo Fernandez and Cole Palmer, should create enough chances to break through Forest's defence. Whilst Chelsea's backline will likely keep Forest's attacker quiet. All right. Brighton versus Tottenham. Tottenham to win 3-2. This is a fascinating matchup, as both teams play attacking at fluid football. Brighton's high pressing and possession-based style could expose Tottenham's defensive gaps, but Tottenham's pace and lethal counter-attack will be a major threat. If Son is fit and James Maddison can be clinical, Brighton may struggle to contain them. It's likely to be an open game with goals at both ends, but Tottenham's cutting edge in attack may give them the win in the front and a counter.
This is what I don't like about AI, right? There's a lot of maze, isn't there? Like, it tries to act smart so that, you know, if things do go wrong, they can say, well, I only said may.
Yeah. Spurs will win, but they may draw and they may lose.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all the man versus AI. I would say any other business, but some of us have got to go and play football in an hour's time, so we'll probably
need
to
can't wait.
Go and play.
You struggle still standing up from your chair, Bob.
We still dream of the day. Right, yeah, unless anyone else has got anything else. There are some midweek games, obviously, for teams in Europe, like Arsenal and Chelsea.
Thank you.
Play this week. Are you playing this week?
Yep.
Oh, who are you playing?
Fenerbahce, I think he is.
Oh, Fenerbahce. Is that where Mourinho is now?
I don't know.
He's in Turkey.
No, it's not Fenerbahce. It's some other team. Mate.
Jesus.
It's a foreign team that I can't pronounce.
It's one of those teams in Europe.
Verrick Farris. I don't fucking know.
What country are they from?
They are in
Europe.
They would be in Hungary.
Okay.
Who West Ham got?
Ipswich on Saturday, mate.
Oh, right.
That's a good one, Bob.
Arsenal have PSG at home. Come on, you Arsenal.
Ooh, we've got West Ham soon, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Looking forward to that one. We should do a live stream.
No.
Oh, we should definitely try and sort something like that out soon.
Yes.
Right, that's a wrap. I'm ending it.
Night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.